Hey friend, Graham Baldwin here with the Speaker Lab. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if someone gave you the exact process to find and book more speaking gigs in 2024? That'd be nice, right? Well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to do that for you. We've created a new 18-page guide based on Dan Irvin's process that helped him actually book over $100,000 in speaking gigs in the past year. Now, Dan is one of our team members here. He's a very successful speaker and also one of our coaches. And so you're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls, proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps. Again, that's plural. thespeakerlab.com/steps. We're going to send you that PDF guide right to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps. That's it. That's all you got to do. Go there. Hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You're awesome.
Because what I don't want people to do is to be successful at the expense of the relationships that matter most.
Hey friends, Graham Baldwin here. I am so excited for you to get into this episode. It's going to be a good one. So I recently sat down with Aaron Walker, who is affectionately known to many as Big A. And we're going to talk about building a life of significance. Now, Big A is the founder of View from the Top, where he works with leaders and entrepreneurs to create success and develop accountability and ultimately just find meaning in every endeavor that we pursue. As Big A and his team see it, developing a successful career as a speaker can be alluring, but what about the rest of our lives? Like, how are we pouring into our families? And what kind of legacies are we leaving? What kind of life are we ultimately building? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is a really, really great conversation. So if you're interested in creating a legacy and a life that means more to you than just work, this episode is for you. So let's get right into this conversation I had with Big A. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Graham Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. So good to have you here with us today. I'm super excited about today's conversation, talking with a hero of mine. The guy's been on the podcast a couple times now, but it's been a second. Good to have Mr. Aaron Walker, known as Big A, back in the house here. So, Big A, thanks for joining us today, man.
Come on, Grant. Man, I don't know about following that hero introduction, but we'll do best we can. So, man, right. Good to see you.
Thanks. Always good well. To see you. Yeah, of course. Anytime I get time with you, you know that's a big deal to me. And so for a little bit of context here and background, you and I have known each other for, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years, something like that or so. And we live on opposite sides of Nashville and get together once a month. We have religiously for several years now. And you are someone I've told you numerous times, like, hey, I want to be like you when I grow up. And I want to be like you from a husband standpoint, a father standpoint. You're a father of a couple girls, and I got a couple girls here, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. You and Robin have a very successful, healthy marriage. And so, and as an entrepreneur, just things I want to learn from you. And so, thanks for being here and sharing some of your wisdom and insight with the rest of us.
Yeah, man. Hey, it's been fun too. These decade now goes by pretty quick, but I will say that, man, you're a guy of action. Like, it's fun to coach you because you like implement. And so, watching you and Sheila raise those girls, you've done a great job and doing a good job in your business, well-rounded. So, man, what a treat it is for me to be here with you today. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Now, one of the things that, you know, you and I talk a lot about offline is just the importance of building a life of significance. And, you know, that can happen. Your life's going to turn out one way or another. And ultimately, it really comes down to just kind of the intentionality that you have. And so for an audience of speakers where, like, we want to make an impact, we want to make a difference, sometimes it feels at odds with also wanting to do well at home and just be a normal, well-rounded person. And so I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit of like, what do you think of when we talk about like just building a life of significance as a speaker?
Let me go back and give a little bit of context, if I could, Grant. I think it will be helpful to those that haven't heard me on an interview before. Some of your audience has. But let's rewind back to 2001. August 1st, 2001 was a Wednesday, normal day. I get up, I go to the office, and on my way to the office, I run over and kill a pedestrian that's crossing the street, Gallatin Pike, about a mile and a half from my office. Things were really good for me at that point. I was working 3 days a week, my business partner working the other three. We had a vacation home. We had a beautiful home here in Nashville. Like, my life couldn't have been any more pristine, right? It was amazing. Two beautiful daughters, gorgeous wife, and my life come to a screeching halt August 1st, 2001, when I ran over and killed this pedestrian. He didn't see me, ran out in front of me. And what I gleaned out of that was a number of things, but one thing that I want to talk about a little bit today was that the legacy that I would have left that day if I had been killed was poor kid from Nashville, Tennessee, makes enough money to retire at age 27. nobody cares. And I'm like, God, that is not what I want my life to end looking like. What I want my life to be is I help Grant Baldwin make a difference with Sheila and those girls, or I help other clients or in ISI Mastermind. But that wouldn't have been the case that day. I was so focused on making money, building businesses, having tangible possessions that I had forgotten to really embrace what significance meant. I had success down, right? I did well early, and the significance piece is what I didn't have. And so I sold the business. I took 5 years off. We traveled, kind of got my legs back under me. And what God revealed to me in that is that I hadn't been really encouraging others. And so my life was all centered around things that I had. And I said, God, if you'll give me another chance, I'll do it differently this time. And so I focused outward instead of inward. And now I'm trying to be a giver instead of a taker. And so there's a level of significance that we all need to do, whether you're just starting out in your career, whether you're a seasoned veteran. I think that we really need to focus on having success. I like to have success. I like to make money. I like to make a difference. But at the same time, I want other people's lives to be better as a result of being around me. And so, yeah, that's where that slogan that I say, live a life of success and significance, comes from, is really focusing on that significance piece. And hopefully we'll get into that a little bit today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so whenever you talk about like the success part of it, that it's okay to be driven, sure. You know, and I think, you know, you and I, people watching, listening, are in that same boat of like, I want to do well. You know, I've got one shot at this thing called life. Yeah. This is something, again, you and I have talked a lot about over lunches, is just feeling like this, pressure or weight probably too strong, but just like this responsibility of being a good steward of any resources, you know, that we have in life and whatever that looks like. And so how do you best balance the, I want to be motivated, I want to be driven, I want to push, but I don't want to do that at the detriment of, you know, burning myself out or leaving my family in the, sure, and by the wayside. And like, how do we strike that right balance?
Yeah, which oftentimes happens. And quite honestly, it's happened to me over the course of my 45-year career. A few times I've kind of hit the wall. You know, it gets out of balance. You lose people around you that can be accountability partners. You lose community. You're in isolation. And isolation is a terrible thing. It is absolutely the enemy of excellence. We really need to be around community, be around other people that are going to push us to go forward. I'm very aspirational. We've had a number of companies. I think this is our 14th company that we've built over a 45-year period. And I love to grow, right? I love to scale. I love to make things happen. But I came home one day with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers. And Robin walked up to me and she said, thank you for all that you've provided, but I feel like a single mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you saying? And she said, well, I'm taking the girls to cheerleading practice, to basketball, taking them to school events. And you get home late, you leave early, you're traveling, you're doing this and you're doing that. You're starting new companies. Like, we need those things, but I don't want to do it alone. And what I found out, Grant, that I was building a level of success financially, but I was doing it from a huge relationship deficit. And I didn't know my daughters like I should. And I didn't know my wife like I should. And thank God Robin said that, because it really rattled me to a point of saying, okay, I've got to do some things differently. So got involved in a mastermind group now decades ago, surrounded myself with other people that would push me. I really subjected myself to the scrutiny of others. It's like, hey, what is the blind spots? What is the kryptonite? You know, maybe if I've got a superpower, kind of encourage me in it. But what is it that I'm doing that is going to cause me jeopardy down the road? And so, listen, when you ask people that, be prepared, because they're going to tell you. They're going to, yeah, be like, man, you do this. I hear you talk to Robin this way, or I see you not at home and doing the things that you're teaching, but you're not necessarily doing. You can't live, you know, a life of teaching and not executing. And like, I was like, man, it put me back on my heels. And it was like, oh my gosh. And so after about 2 or 3 years of being in a mastermind group with some guys here in Nashville, Robin said, I like this guy way better than the guy that I knew, you know, 10 years ago. And I'm like, why is that? She said, well, now you've built boundaries. Now there's guardrails. Now there's things that you're willing to do. You've kind of prioritized your priorities. You've kind of got it in the correct order. And the thing that's difficult, though, when you're a small business owner, oftentimes there's things that you've got to do you don't necessarily want to do, right? what I've learned over the course of my 4+ decades now being in business, there are people that can do it as well or better than you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I didn't want to delegate. And so what I've really learned to do is to delegate and say, hey, let me put you in your zone of genius. You get out there, you knock it out, you crush it with accountability, right, within our team. And so they do it now. And quite honestly, I'm only doing what I can do. Like nobody else can do some of the things that I personally am doing. And our business operates at a much higher level. And I didn't really see that. It's not figuring out how to do everything. It's who are you going to get to implement that? And I know you're really big with your team. You've got 40, 50 plus people now that you're delegating things out. And quite honestly, no disrespect to you, but they can do it better than you. There's things that they can do with your team, with the speaker lab, that's even better than you. And so you do what you do. And that's what I want you to take away from this interview today is do an evaluation. Like, what gives me energy? What are the things that only I can do? Because when they are taking energy, you've only got so much bandwidth. There's only so much determination you can pull from, and you're going to crash and hit the wall, which I've done a couple of times. I'm not proud of, but I had to take months off for a period of time because I'm such a hard charger and I want to accomplish, I want to go, but I'm like, you know what? I can't do that. So now what we've done is devised a plan and a strategy. I'm going to work within this framework. I'm going to work this many hours, and whatever I can get done, I'm going to get done. There's always opportunity. There's always more that you can do. There's always one more speaking gig. There's always one more email. There's always going to be more opportunity. Success breeds opportunity. And so you're going to continue to be faced with this. So what you got to do in the early stages, build the boundaries, put the guardrails up, get in community, have huge accountability so that you don't burn yourself out.
I want to go back to one thing you touched on where it seems like a lot of times when someone has some type of, you know, big epiphany of like, dang, I was going down this one path and I got to kind of pivot and go down this other path and start building that life of success and significance. Oftentimes it is some type of like big aha wake up moment. Like you mentioned, you know, the accident several years ago, or, you know, Robin saying like, hey, I feel like a single mom, and like these things that just kind of smack you upside the head.
Right.
Is there anything that we can do, or is it just like having a greater self-awareness to catch us before we get to those situations and before we, I hit the wall, man, if I had known before then I would have avoided this wall. And so like, what can we do to avoid that?
We're smart people, right? We should be able to avoid a lot of these landmines. And so what we teach now in Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind is to be proactive, not reactive. There's some exercises that you can go through, and I'm happy to give you this, and maybe you'll link these in the show notes. There's a What Do I Want document that I created about a decade ago that really prompts you with questions to ask yourself difficult questions. Most people, Grant, don't know what they want.
Yeah.
Because I go to people and I say, exactly what is it you're trying to accomplish? Well, I don't know. Like, I want bigger, better, shinier, faster, you know, just give me more and more security and more wealth. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it when you get it? But I don't know exactly, you know. And so I think that getting a clear vision, really understanding what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Like, I could live in a bigger house if I wanted to. I could have bigger, nicer cars. But I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, this is good. I live back in the woods. You know, Robin and I have a cabin back in the woods. And I'm like, no, I like this. I can go outside and hang out, shoot my guns, whatever I want to do. It's like, no, I'm good. Well, why don't you live over in Fairview Plantation? Well, I don't want to live over in Fairview Plantation. I've decided what I want. I've decided how much I want to make. I've decided how much I want to give away. I decide all those things proactively. So that's the first thing. The next thing is a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are married, right? They have a spouse. We don't have good communication with our spouse. Another document I created called the Spouse Survey. And there again, we'll link all these in the show notes and we can give them away to your audience, right? I'll just make them a gift to your audience. And then you go through and say, hey, let's see what my spouse thinks about these 25 things. And you're like, man, I didn't even know. No, you didn't know because you didn't ask, or you didn't know because you weren't spending the time communicating on a regular basis to understand exactly what it is that the two of you are trying to accomplish, or with your children. And, you know, you and I talk about your girls a lot. And it's just going in there, laying across their bed saying, hey, you know, what is it that's going on? What can I help you with? And you're like, they're looking at you like you got three heads. You're like, dad, what is it you want? Nothing. I just want to hang out with you. Yeah. And then you ask their advice oftentimes. And it's like being proactive in these communications with the people that you care about most. Because what I don't want people to do is to be successful at the expense of the relationships that matter most. And I want you to listen really clear for a second, those that are listening to this. If you come home one day to a child and they continually ask you, Dad, let's play, let's throw ball, take me to piano recital, and you don't, you defer to, hey, I got another email, I got another client, I got another speaking engagement. There's going to be a time where that invitation will go away. And then you're going to come home one day with a lot of money and there's going to be a house full of strangers and you're not going to know those kids and they're going to find other people that are going to invest in them. People are starving to death. Your family is for your time. The money is good. I hate it when people with money go, money's not important. And I was like, you're a liar. It's really important, right? I like to make money. I want to make money. It helps me do things with my family. But the thing is if you're doing it, you're doing it for nothing if you don't build those relationships. So I think Grant is just being mindful, creating the vision, deciding it, what it is that you want, making sure that the person you're living with, you're pulling the same cart, put these parameters around you, get accountability. You've got to be willing to subject yourself to a certain group of people, whether it be an accountability group, a mastermind, a coach, somebody that asks you the difficult questions on a regular basis, right? Somebody that says, hey, how are you faring in these areas? Are you doing these things? Because we procrastinate when we don't have that level of accountability. This is my 25th year of being in a mastermind every single week for 25 years. Like my life would be way different if I hadn't had enlisted people around me that were trusted advisors. And so you've got to do it proactively if you're really going to maximize your time.
You mentioned like a lot of times, we're working hard, we're trying to build something, we're trying to do something. And part of it is coming from a place of just trying to provide for our family. And so there's kind of, again, that tension of a spouse or significant other and kids are like, oh man, I would love to have more of your attention. You're like, well, I'm working really hard over here because I'm doing it for you and trying to provide a great life and trying to make life easy. Is there truth to that? Or are we just lying to ourselves and trying to rationalize something that isn't there?
No, I think we actually believe it. But what happens is you come home one day and you find that note on the table that says, hey, I just can't take it any longer. Or the little kids like, hey, Dad, where have you been? You're not involved in my life. And they go out and they get involved in activities that none of us would be happy about. And you go to them and you say, well, why? Why did you do this? Or why did your spouse leave? It's because like you're not there. Like, thank you for all these things, but you're not there. And if you're not there and you're not going to participate in these activities or you're not going to participate with your family, like, what is the point?
Yeah.
There becomes an emotional disconnect. And then after the emotional disconnect, you separate whether your kids move away and go to college. And I'll be honest with you, if you don't spend time with them now, they're not going to come back after they go to college. They're going to get married. They're going to move away and you're going to see them once or twice a year at best. I don't want that. You know, I mean, I've had the big house, I've had the shiny stuff and all that, and it's nice to a point, but if you're going it alone and your spouse is not on the same page and your children are off getting involved in God knows what, because you're not there playing baseball, you know, going to piano recitals, if you're not doing those things with your kids, I had to ask myself, what is the point? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, got a nice car and a nice boat and a big house, but oftentimes what I see is people filling that void with these tangible possessions that's going to rust and decay and go away. And the people that we love the most were disappointing. And so I don't want to preach at your audience, but I do want you to take an honest observation and go, what is the motivation? Like, why are you doing this? Well, yeah, I want my kids to have a better life than I did. What does that just mean? Tangible possessions? Or does that mean quality time? Or when you say, I am working around the clock for you, it's like, well, yeah, and you're leaving your spouse there to do other things that you really signed up to do that day you made that covenant before God, that you're going to be there to support and help and encourage. And then we spend the remainder of our time going to counseling and divorce court and, you know, having arbitration within the family. And it's like, man, this is not the way I designed it. You can avoid most of those things if you're really proactive and asking good, honest questions.
You mentioned earlier about the importance of just having boundaries. And so what can you give us some examples of what that might look like in terms of balance, those boundaries of like, again, between work life, I'm trying to build this thing, but I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good, healthy, you know, sane human being. Like what should some of those boundaries boundaries look like?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll just say some personal boundaries. Like, I get an opportunity to travel and speak. And a lot of you that are listening to this, I know, are speakers, and some of you are going to vehemently disagree with this, but that's okay. This is for Robin and I. Robin and I will celebrate 44 years of marriage this year. So I'm pretty excited about the marriage that we've built. But for us, like, when I go and speak, I'll tell you a quick story. So I went and spoke at social media marketing in San Diego. And I got through speaking and gave away, you know, hundreds of copies of my book. And I was standing there signing the book. And this real pretty girl walks up and she said, hey, would you sign my book? And I said, yeah, sure. So I put a note in there and said, thanks for coming. And she jumped over beside me and threw her phone up, was going to do a selfie. And I walked away and she goes, I just want to get a quick selfie. And I said, do you have a minute for me to explain? And she goes, yeah, sure. And I said, Robin is sitting at home on our sofa right now in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm 2,000 miles away. Robin and I have been married 40 plus years. You're a beautiful 25-year-old girl, and you're going to post this on Instagram. Robin's going to see it at home. I'm 2,000 miles away, my arm around a good-looking 25-year-old girl. How well do you think that's going to make Robin feel for the sense of security for our marriage? And she sat there. She was mad at first, and then she thought about it. She said, I wish my husband felt that way. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm glad you got the book. I'm glad you came, and I hope you're not offended. She goes, oh, no, no, I'm not leaving offended at all. I'm leaving desirous of that kind of relationship. That's just one. Another one is there's no pictures. There's no TV. There's no electronics in our bedroom. And our bedroom is a safe haven. That's a place that Robin and I go. You know, we shoot a lot of pictures here. We do a lot of videos here for marketing. Our bedroom's off limits. That's a sanctuary. We don't ever watch TV in there. We don't ever talk on the phone. We don't ever scroll on Facebook. We don't do any of that stuff in our bedroom. That's a sanctuary for Robin and I, right? It's just a safe place for, we don't ever argue in there. We argue plenty, believe me, but we set in the DM. We go to the bedroom to sleep, right? That's our safe haven. That's a safe place. I cut my phone off at night. I go in the house and I'm like, hey, now I'm going to be totally honest. I'm not 100% on that one. Occasionally I'll pick it up, I'll check it, and Robin will look at me over her glasses, you know, and I'm like, I know I need to set this down. So I need to work on that, Grant. So I'm asking you for accountability on that. But little things like that, I could go on and on for hours about different boundaries. Like we eat dinner together at the table. There's no electronics there, no phone, no laptop. Like, this family time. And my girls, when they were at home, we did that. You know, we ate as a family. I will say this, some of the recent statistics that I have seen said that primarily girls abstain from sexual intimacy after age 16, and the only common denominator they can find are the kids that ate dinner together. Wow. With their family. See, you know what that says to me? They just want to be heard. And so, just some cool stats out showing the value of time with your family. I go on vacation. I just got back from a 10-day cruise. I left my phone at home for one of my assistants to manage. Didn't even take the phone. I didn't take a book to read because I'm going to spend hours reading, right? We didn't cut the TV on in 10 days while we were gone. We sat on the veranda of the cruise ship and we talked and we really just hung out, ate dinner together. Robin had my undivided attention. Yeah. And I'm just saying those things are difficult to do, but when you're intentional, it speaks volumes to your spouse.
I want to go back to something you touched on earlier about delegating and how focusing on the things that only you can do. And, you know, you and I both have team members that work with us that are part of what we're doing. And so there are people that we can kind of help delegate stuff to. But the challenge is, especially like as you're getting going in those early days, I can think back for myself when, you know, I was working a couple different odd jobs and trying to build a speaking business. And so for a little while, it feels like I got to keep this one primary thing going because this is how we eat and live indoors. But I'm trying to get this secondary thing going. I'm trying to chase this dream. And it's just going to take me a second. And so for a minute there, it just feels like, A, there's a lot of work going on. But B, there's just certainly no one to delegate to. Like every dime that's coming in, like I'm trying to, again, put food on the table or just provide. And so it just feels like it feels difficult, especially early on. It's like, I would love to delegate. I'm looking around and I just keep seeing myself there. So any tips or strategies for, you know, what that could look like early on to delegate or maybe just potentially take some things off the plate in the first place?
Yeah, here's the thing that It would be lying if I said I haven't done that same process. The first 18 months when Robin and I got married, we had a retail business, and I worked probably 16, 18 hours a day for 18 months. And we didn't have children at the time. And I've literally stayed there all night, washed up in the sink and shaved and ready for the next day, didn't sleep. You know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, right? So I'm giving you permission for a season of time to do the things that you need to do. But if you make that habitual, it's going to catch up to you. And so I would recommend sitting down with the people that you care the most about and say, listen, I don't want to do this long term. And I'm going to do it for a period of time. And I want you to walk in lockstep with me. And I'm going to say, these are the benchmarks. We'll do X for this period of time. On this given date, I'm going to admit to you that I'm going to hire somebody to take this position. See, where we really get in trouble is we spend all of the money. We build a lifestyle beyond our means, and it disallows us from being able to delegate to other people. So I would just say, first of all, we'll quote Dave Ramsey for a minute, live below your means, right? And allocate a certain amount of your resources to those people that can take some of the things off your plate. The other thing is do a honest evaluation. A friend of mine lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He takes something off of his to-do list every month. Like, he quits something every month. He doesn't add things. He's growing through the process of elimination, and that's getting things off your plate. Don't overcommit. Oftentimes people will overcommit and they'll just put too much on their plate. And I would just really encourage you not to do that. You'll get a lot further faster by having a narrow focus and only capitalizing on one or two things specifically, rather than being, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide. If you narrow that focus an inch wide and a mile deep, the resources that you'll make will be far greater than trying to do too many things. So eliminate some things, have a specified time frame that you're willing to do certain things, and stick to your guns. Because if you don't, here's what's important. If you don't stick to your guns with your spouse, they're not going to believe you next time. And so it's really important that you're specific in nature on that and you adhere to what you say you're going to do.
Well, one thing, a question I've used before, you know, personally for myself, for others, is asking, is this a season or is this the way it is? Is this a season or is this the way it is? Because like you said, there's going to be seasons where it's just busier than others.
You can't help it.
Yeah, but there's going to be, you know, there's going to be times where you look back and be like, man, that, you know, this is a really long season. Like, is there like a light at the end of the tunnel here, or am I just lying to myself saying that this is a season? So
then
I think,
again, there's where we get into lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do that. You got to be honest with yourself.
And having that just self-awareness of going, no, I am taking steps to get out of this current situation, or, you know, the current stressors that I find myself in, rather than just, again, trying to tell myself something that's not necessarily true. All right. Another question that I have for you would be, like, when you think back to as you're building the business there, especially on like the speaking side, you've done a fair amount of speaking there. Anything that you've seen that has worked really well for you and your speaking business in terms of like how speaking fits into everything else? Because you are someone where, like a lot of people, you have your hand in a variety of different things. You lead a company, you lead a lot of masterminds, you do some coaching, and speaking is kind of part of that. I'd be curious, like, how speaking fits in, or how you see speaking fitting into everything else you have going on.
Yeah, I think speaking for me is just getting in front of small business owners that are faith forward, family first, people that desire momentum, people that really want a sense of accountability in their life. When I get in front of the right avatar, I can share my life experiences, you know, 45 years of business, 44 years of marriage. We have two daughters, five grandchildren. Like, I've been around the block for a minute, and you're like, hey, that may sound right, but the reality, this is what it's going to look like. And so I think that experience just really helps convey the message that we're trying to get across. I'm a very vulnerable person. I want to be authentic. I don't want to stand up and tell you I got it all figured out when I don't. I want to be genuine, and it's hard to convey that. Sometimes I have written a couple of books, and it's hard to convey that oftentimes in the books that you write. When you can share emotion, you can look at people, you can laugh, they can smile, you can convey the message much more powerfully. And I really enjoy doing that. It's not something that I would want to be away from my family long term. Like, I understand you're gone for a couple of days, and we have many mutual friends that are gone for a couple of days. They're back. And I would just suggest that those that are listening to this that have that schedule, really be intentional about the time when you're back, right? Really focus, really be there, really be specific, really pour into your family. Grant, at the end of the day, it's all communication. It's all just making sure that there's not expectations being unmet on the other side, whether it be your kids or your spouse. Really tell them what you're trying to accomplish, bring them on the journey with you. It's just the lack of communication is what causes the frustration. And so, yeah, communicate well, be present when you're present, and do what you need to do while you're away. And so I will reiterate something I said earlier, success breeds opportunity. So the more successful speaker you are, the more opportunities that you're going to have. And I would just really encourage you to say, hey, I'm willing to build the boundaries. I'm willing to devote this much time. I'll do this many speaking engagements away from the family. This is how many days of the year I'm going to be gone. When you start deviating from that, you lose credibility with your family. And so I would just encourage everyone that's listening to this, that's building something that's a speaking business. If you haven't written a book, it's a great opportunity to get the door open for more speaking opportunities. I have someone that books everything for me, schedules everything. That's a, you know, it takes a lot of time to book these things yourself. And so the more that you can give that away and let someone else, you know, schedule your speaking, the better.
I want to shift gears one more time here. You had mentioned like the importance of masterminds, being around other people that are in your space, you know, personally and professionally, that can that can help you, that can hold you accountable, that can encourage you. You know, being a speaker can be very lonely. It can be very isolating. It can be very, you know, difficult. And there's days where like, hey, I just booked a big gig and I'm looking around for someone to kind of virtually high five or physically high five. And or times where like, hey, I just got asked this question. This is really, really tough. And I'm not really sure, you know, what to do in this situation or deal with this client or whatever it may be. Especially early on as an entrepreneur, as a speaker, whatever it may be, anything that you'd recommend in terms of like finding that community, finding other speakers, finding other entrepreneurs who can kind of go on that journey with you?
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on this and I'll try to summarize it quickly. So I think the first and foremost, the thing you've got to do if you are a speaker, it's going to be difficult to have an in-person mastermind or accountability because you're on the road regularly. So virtually works great. It's not as good as in-person, but it's certainly better than not having it at all. So I think that first and foremost, I have three men I've been meeting with for 30 years every Monday morning that I get together for an hour and a half and we ask each other difficult questions. They know completely about every aspect of my life, very intimate details about my life. And they know, they have context with my finances, my personal life, my children, my grandchildren, my business. You need that level of context if people are really going to help you. Otherwise, you can ask a good question and you'll get a good suggestion. But if they don't have context to where you're at personally, it may just be a good conceptual idea, not specific in nature to you. The mastermind, Iron Sharpens Iron, is for the person that I described earlier, the small business owner, people that are desirous of, you know, putting their family first. They have a faith component. They have a sense of momentum. They want that accountability, very structured organization. I'd love to talk to you if you're looking for a mastermind group. But outside of that, you've got to say some very difficult things to yourself first is, am I willing to be vulnerable? Am I willing to be authentic? Am I willing to let the facade down and tell people exactly where it is that I'm at so they can help me make good decisions? I'm a very, very busy person, and I wouldn't have invested this level of time and attention and money if it wasn't worth it, right? Because I could be doing other things. So I can honestly say that a big part of my success has been because I've had these trusted advisors. So I think it's a must for us to accomplish all the things that we're desirous of doing.
Is there anything that like today you have those relationships that have been around for decades? I remember a friend of mine says it's hard. You can't make old new friends, I believe. Meaning like, you know, the connection that you and I have, we've known each other for 10 years and have spent, you know, countless hours together in person and virtually, exchange texts and phone calls. And I mean, all of that. And then you compress all of that and it really makes for like a really impactful relationship. But when you're starting from scratch and going like, man, I would love to have that kind of relationship with, you know, Big Air or whoever, or someone, you know, a mentor or a peer alongside of that. Like, what should we be looking for, or, you know, where do we find these people? It's not like necessarily like, hey, just post on Facebook, like, hey, I'm looking for some people that I can really go deep with the rest of life.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. First and foremost, you've got to decide who you are as an individual. And I would always encourage the listeners today, if you don't have stated, written core values, you need to write those down. Relationships matter most. Make it amazing. Everything's figure outable. No excuses and truth before opinion. Those are my core values. Every decision I make is run through those core values. You want to align yourself with people that are similar in nature to your core values. You want to have people that are in alignment with your worldviews, people that are going to tell you the truth. They're going to call you out. You give them permission to call you out. So you have to go and enlist people. You can't, there's no way that you can go and be vulnerable, transparent, and authentic with people that are not similar in nature to your mission statement, your vision, your core values, in alignment for your worldviews. You're just not going to do it. And so you've got to establish who you are as an individual first. Once you do that, it's a lot easier to find people that are more in alignment with you. The other thing is if you haven't experienced that, let's call it you're 35 years old today. Well, the longer you wait, the more you're going to look back and regret. So you get started today, right? It's like, hey, I have never done what Big A's talking about right now, but I want that. I'm desirous of it. And if you're going to have long-term relationships, you got to get started now. You can't keep procrastinating and putting it off, or you'll never have those relationships.
You to kind of wrap up here, you touched a little bit on ISI, Iron Sharpens Iron. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, what that is, if we want to learn more about that, learn more about you, where all can we go?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Like I said, decades ago now, I got involved in a mastermind group. 13 years ago, I retired, I thought, for the third and final time. But here we are 13 years later. I'm still working more than I've ever worked before because I love what we're doing. We're transforming lives of men. Nothing against women whatsoever. There's groups out there for women. God's called me to really nurture men and to really challenge them. I'm a very forward person. I challenge people. We get it done. It's no nonsense. It's like, hey, listen, we're going to move the needle. Let's get in here and move the needle. And so we do that. As I said earlier, we are for people that are small business owners or decision makers, people that, you know, are involved in their company, heavily making decisions, or they own their own company. And speakers certainly classifies that. People that are faith forward, family first, have a sense of momentum. You know, we're not an organization that is helping you figure out what to do in life. But if you have a sense of momentum and you're like, Big A, I want accountability. Like, I want to put myself out there. I want to be successful like you're talking about. That's who we are. Like, we don't put up with excuses. We're about getting it done. So yeah, reach out to us at viewfromthetop.com. There's an application on our website. It doesn't commit you to joining us, but it certainly gives you an opportunity to meet with me for an hour. And we just talk through what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And if you're interested, I would love the opportunity to talk to you.
Awesome. Big A, thanks for the time, man. Always enjoy spending time with you. And I appreciate the investment that you've made in my life and my family and my marriage and in the business here at the Speaker Lab, and the ripple effect that's had on speakers everywhere, man. So you're the best.
You're the best. We'll see you, buddy.
Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. If that's you, I'd encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/call. Again, thespeakerlab.com/call, and book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.